Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Hello, everybody, and you're all very welcome to this week's episode of Today Tonight.
With
a guy with glasses and a very serious
David Letterman.
Suit. What?
David Letterman.
Today tonight.
No, you look like him.
I do. There's a bit of a Letterman vibe.
A full.
A full vibe going on.
Yeah, I don't know who's taking whose look, but...
Well, I doubt very much now if he's keeping track of me.
He might be.
But it's just, it's only because the see-through glasses and the beard and the chacho and the comedian.
Does it take much? Are you
the chacho has put a lot of that Letterman vibe
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it has. Are you maintaining your beard full time now?
Yeah, I...
clipping it and pruning it and...
Well, not me. I never do it myself. I have someone to do that for me.
The gardener does it.
Mora Bennykine.
Can you end your grass, Daddy?
I need minding, and I want to know how do you mind somebody? Like, I feel as if I need minding. And have you ever been in a situation where you needed minding? And how were you minded?
Well, if you have a head cold, you need minding. A man flu, you need minding. If you have a sort of minding do you want? There's a levels of minding. There's minding and minding.
I think Molly Coddlin or Mindon?
Oh, the hard word. The hard word straight away. Molly Coddlin.
Molly Coddlin. I haven't heard that since 1973.
That'd be a great name for a psychiatrist. Will you please welcome Dr. Molly Coddlin?
What is Molly Coddlin? Molly Coddlin are spoiling. Do you want to be spoiled?
I think I just need a really, really posh psychiatric hospital.
To be minded.
Yeah. A really posh psychiatric hospital. I just feel like I need, I am very frayed. Not afraid.
I thought you said frail.
Not with a Y.
No, with the Y, yeah.
Oh, you're frayed.
F-R-A-Y-E-D.
So you're becoming a little pulled left, right and centre.
I feel a little bit like a plug. What do you call them?
Double adapters.
No. What is the name of the plug?
Extension leads.
No, but what's the name of the whole thing?
It's a three-fuse plug.
No, what is the name of the plug and the wire
socket
together?
It's an extension lead.
No, what is the name
of the plug? A plug. A cord, like.
No, it's a plug. You feel like you're plugged in.
A wire.
You've been plugged in too many places.
This is you.
Have you got a lamp and a cord?
Well, I hope you never, the pair of you.
Tommy, this is coming from you, doesn't even know what the lawnmower is.
As working as a kind of double team counsellors, because you'd have the poor patient cowed down. What is the name of you plug it into the wall and it has a wire? What is the name of that thing?
Fuse box.
No, it's a lamp or it's a.
No, the thing you plug.
And it's a socket.
Like a socket.
Say you have...
It's a socket, Tommy.
It's in the wall. The socket's in the wall.
Aisht Limaglore. So say you have a device that needs electrical power. Mm. And you go, hey, where's the... For this.
The cord.
The lead. The lead.
The lead. The lead for this.
The wire.
Like, where's the...
It's either wireless or it's wired.
No. So it's wired. So, but you need the wire.
What's it called?
Where's the lead for the phone? Where's the lead for the amp?
Yeah.
Charger. The charger. That's it. Where's the charger?
That's a different thing. So
what I feel like is, do you know where there's a wire? It goes into the radio, and then the other end of the wire is a plug that goes into the wall, and there's power. I feel right now as if someone has taken the plug head off the wire and right. cut the wire, and the wires are just sticking
Fizzing
out.
There.
So I feel frayed. So I want to know how.
I
want
on the go.
I'm on the go. So how do you? How would you? When you've been in
Lochdurg, you need to go to Lochdurg.
Oh, is that? On my knees, saying the rosary for yeah. 3 days.
You're mad into rosary and prayers at the minute. I spoke to my aunt, the nun, the other day, update. She's collecting books for you as we speak, for, you know, religious books for you. She rang me yesterday. She's got at least 5 of them now.
The Life and Times of St. Teresa of Avila.
Yes.
Martin de Porres, the biography.
All those sort of things. So you'll be fine.
Padre Pio, the truth.
You need to take those books and go off into a little man cave.
See, you're switching yourself on every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, probably with the chat show as well. You're on all the time.
We'll go on holidays, the three of us. The three of us will go on holidays together, and we'll go somewhere where we have no phone signal.
To mind a time when you were frayed.
Yes.
And how you were, and tell me how you were minded.
I like, if I'm frayed and it's been really...
You've never been frayed, have you?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Have you ever taken...
Not exhausted, just a bit...
Just paranoid, deluded.
Yeah, I'm like that all the time.
You are?
Yeah.
That is the first... We've been doing this podcast for 2.5 years, and that's the first bit of personal information we've ever got.
I'm telling you, I'm not like that. Like,
we don't even know what name you took for your confirmation.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm like that all the time. You get days like that where you're like... The other day, it was raining, it was dark, it was black, it was depressing. It's January, and I was like, oh my God. And then you're thinking, what do people are thinking about you? And are they judging you? Or are they? And you get all het up in it. And then you have to go, okay, stop. Okay, I'm just living in the moment right now. I'm dealing with what I'm facing in front of me. Don't think about the bigger picture. We had this before. We talked about this before where you were saying you get anxious about things and you're overthinking things. You need to go,
I'm doing the podcast
and I'm talking about this. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing tomorrow or later on.
Yeah, but you see, the thing I was here he's getting at is the master switch is on and it's full drive ahead. You go, go.
It's more than that.
You go, go, go.
It's more than that.
A psychologist.
Do I need to start masturbating? Is that what I need?
Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you're
do
not.
Is that a kind of? Do you
should go to that sex woman that you were on television.
Do you know? There's people who suffer from anxiety, and I think I'm nearly one of them now at this stage, where they do this thing of you tap your wrist,
right?
Or something like that.
Or breathe into a brown bag. That's a good one as well.
Breathe into a brown bag.
Yeah, what's to gather for? Your breathing again.
Really?
You get a brown paper bag and you go. You empty your lungs and you refill them.
Is that what those poor people sitting on cardboard boxes outside car parks are doing, just going to get themselves together?
No, they're not, but you can get one.
But anyway, look, so they do this thing where you tap your wrist or something 7 times or whatever and it brings you back to your body.
Yes.
And it brings you back to the moment.
Mm.
So that's the kind of thing really is the people that I'm just concerned.
I'll tell you a good one to do first thing in the morning. But I'll give you a little bit of advice first thing in the morning for you. Because I know you feel a little bit frayed and I can feel the frayness off you. Are you in a state of frayness?
I'm in a state of...
Frayedness?
I'm in the wilderness.
Okay.
We'll bring you back now. Don't worry about it.
You should embrace the little lie-in the day you can. You're up like a jack-in-the-box at 7 in the morning, even in the hotel. What time do you get up in the morning?
You don't want to know.
I do.
Don't
tell me you're up at 6:30.
You don't want to know.
Tommy, you need to embrace the 9 o'clock. You need to embrace the 7:30.
Or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It needs to turn over. Turning over is one of the great gifts given to mankind. Turning over with the quilt and sprawling.
Far from turning over, we were right now in a single bed, you'd be on the floor.
Yeah, but you know that feeling when...
And perished.
The other half is gone and you can... there's nobody in the bed. Turn over, sprawl. There's a lovely word. Sprawl and embrace 9 o'clock.
That's it. Breakfast. Throw the right leg up to 9 o'clock. Yes. Left leg 6 o'clock.
When is the last time you had breakfast in bed? The last time, even a cup of tea and a bit of soda.
I can't even tell you the last time I had fucking breakfast. So anyway.
Why don't you embrace the morning and then when you get up, you rub your hands.
No, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get your hand, your hands stretched out.
Yeah.
Put them against the wall. Right?
Yeah.
And just breathe in and out.
Where are you coming from with all this breathing stuff?
He had the worst doctors ever.
I've got a heart problem. I need to
yes. Okay,
you bring your heart back to normal by doing that. You press yourself up against the wall. You take deep breaths. 10 times, and you need to lower your
heart. Does your heart get giddy still?
Yeah. And it's just there a minute ago as well.
What triggers it?
Probably too much caffeine or too much adrenaline or.
And what does it feel like?
Like you're like you're going to, your heart is like popping
stop.
Out.
Stop. Like. Palpitating like yeah, too like, too quickly.
Yeah, you'd have a little cough out of you every now and then.
And how often does that happen
during
a day?
Because you have to be, I'd be conscious of not making it, you know.
It happened a few times a week.
It depends. Like I've had three coffees now today, so.
What?
So you're
that's too much.
Fucking right. Rita.
Yes, that's
it's only half eight in the morning
stuff.
And you've had three coffees.
I know, yeah. Well, I wouldn't normally have that. I'd normally have tea.
Do you feel, is it are you
yeah,
catching your breath?
Yeah, just catch it, yeah. It's fine. It's fine. But that's a way of doing it.
And you able to take like beta blockers and stuff like that?
I stopped taking them.
Confo.
Just, I don't really take
what does
beta
a beta blocker do?
Remember the snooker players, they banded in the snooker because the guys are too relaxed.
Yeah.
So what?
It slows your heart rate down.
The excitement of sport is, can people deal with the pressure? And fellas were taking beat the blocker. I don't feel any pressure at all.
Totally laid back.
And when did you find that out?
I think they're little pink tablets, if I remember.
But were you 15, 16? You were getting this?
No. I probably drank too much vodka and Red Bull and then it started it or something. I was like 24 or 5.
Are you worried about it?
Not at all, it's fine. Sure, what can you do?
I'm
not going to have a heart attack, I don't think.
Okay. I met a fella recently and he was always somebody who was kind of, he's a stand-up comedian and he was always, he's nearly 60 now at this stage. He's was always somebody who was kind of, you'd be at a comedy festival and he was there, man, the fuck? This is when he was in his 30s and 40s and stuff like that. Fucking 12 tickets. Sold 12 fucking tickets. Where's my fucking management? Where's my, you know, and always kind of wound up and just hyped on, why isn't the world acknowledging my
angry
or something? He couldn't stop from telling everybody he met. Only sold 12 fucking tickets, man. You know what I mean?
And who was he annoyed with? Himself?
I just think he thought that there was a kind of, that the people around him weren't looking after him well enough and weren't, that he wasn't doing enough promo for his shows and he wasn't getting enough attention and that's where he was landing, you know. And I met him recently, he's an American dude and he'd be nearly 60 now, I think. And the sense of calm I got off him was just... I was doing a bit of work with him and he was just so...
What's changed?
That's what I wanted to know.
How's his career gone from those days?
His career's doing well now, but he's just... and I've known other Irish comics as well who, once they get a bit of success, they kind of... It's like they calm down. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of... But this guy, I just remember thinking, look at him.
Maybe he's smoking dope or something.
No, he's not a dope smoker. You just look at him and he was just so...
Some people have that, don't they?
Do you get to a certain age, maybe, where you think...
And he just said to me, I just don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
And so he's not trying to be the world famous stand-up comedian anymore. He's just going, man, this is my career.
Mm.
You know, I'm selling more than 12 tickets. Now I can sell out theatres here and there. And
That gives him a sense of comfort.
But see, part of the thing that happened to me was that when I started doing stand-up, I wanted to be... I love the greats. So I love Billy Connolly and Eddie Izzard and there's an American guy called Lenny Bruce and, you know, Richard Pryor and all these people. And you're kind of thinking, okay, make your mark. Make your be as, you got to sacrifice everything for the stand-up. You got to gather all the, you got to be as wild as whatever comes out of your mouth. You have to just be pushing it every fucking night. Pushing. Take the raw material of your life and just turn it into fucking go, work. And this guy that I was talking to, he had been maybe through that and got to the far side of it and just went, man, I don't give a fuck. I am who I am. No one's going to remember my name in 20 years' time.
This is just it.
I ain't going to go down. When they're doing the history of stand-up comedy in America in the 2000s, my name ain't going to come up. That's okay. I got my shows. I got my laugh. And it was almost like, I think what had happened for him was that he had started prioritising his life and not the the glory
or not the work
of stand-up. And I just think
everything started fitting into place, and it takes a while for everything to fit into place, doesn't it? Like, you don't have a fucking clue what you're at in the 20s, 30s.
So when you started doing the television stuff, were you...
I had no idea that it was going to last.
But were you hungry for, I want this to be...
No.
What was your state? Can you remember? And compared to what it is now.
Tommy, it was different because all the shows that I got on television back then were my own ideas.
Yeah.
And I was always trying to come up with an idea, write the proposal, make my journey up to RTE, pitch it to somebody and get it made. And that's what we always wanted to do. And I got a lot of self-satisfaction out of that. Like Only Fools by Horses was 2002. But it was like, we got it made. But then there was always an anticlimax after it was made. Mm. We were back down to the reality of it. But I never questioned this television. Like, what am I at? What am I trying to do? What am I doing? I just took it one step at a time, and there was no major fucking plan. And then, obviously, when we started travelling in 2000, who would have thought 22 years later we're still making the same show? Which, that, looking back, is mad. But
and how would you,
the sense of calmness and all that comes with wiseness, Tommy. Wiseness comes from years.
Wisdom is
years
the word.
Yeah.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Wiseness. Wiseness is a good one. Wiseness sounds nicer than
wisdom. It sounds like a village in Poland. I'm from Wiseness.
Jak się masz? Borysia dobrze. The wiseness, I'll say the wiseness comes after years and years of just accepting the years. And years are hard earned. Years are blessings. And when you go through the years, you get the wiseness. The wiseness then gives you the calm.
He's not giving in.
The wiseness gives you the calm, Tommy.
Yeah.
You're lying back there now and there's been a lot of years put in to bring you to the state of...
Hector,
like, for example,
that's great advice because you don't know how to take it.
Yeah, but like, but you're not going to get like, wise without the years. Years
Hector,
give
you give me
knowledge. Humility gives you knowledge. Knowledge gives you time. Time gives you fucking everything.
You're like one
you
of
have
those,
to go through time to get knowledge, to become the wiser.
You're like one of
wiseness.
Those wellness gurus that they're talking, you don't understand
but
them, but you're saying
them
yes anyway. You're
there's
saying
an awful
yes.
Lot of them.
You're agreeing with them because you think you should because you've paid €500 to talk to them.
So here, I was thinking of this on the way up and it might have something to do with what you're talking about. Tell me a time when you were flat fucking broke. Tell me about a time when you checked your account on a Saturday and there was nothing in the account. Because we've all had those experiences, or have we? Mm-hmm. A really wiseness man told me in Longford one day. I was standing...
He's putting more measures on.
I was there outside Dillinger's in Longford one day, his big pub. Oh no, PV Fallon's was the... PV Fallon's was the first super pub ever. In Longford.
PV
Fallon's.
Patrick Vincent.
It was like three floors of fucking disco bar up the top and PV Fallon. So I was outside PV Fallon's one day. And
not, you're thinking of BP Fallon, no, the music entrepreneur.
BP Fallon didn't open a branch of pubs around the country. It was PV Fallon's. And hello to all the Longford boys. A lad said to me, Hector, so I was good to know where you came from. You're doing well, are you? That car paid for by RTE. Do you know the fucking...
I said,
I don't work for them. Anyway, they must be doing well, you, who are you? Have you ever had nothing in the account? I said, I had. So when is the time when you had nothing
in the account? But money doesn't mean anything to me.
No, but tell me about 18, 19, 20, 21 with your first BankLink card.
What the fuck are you talking about? I didn't have a BankLink card until I was 32. I know.
So had you any...
no money.
Were there times
me?
When you checked your bank account?
Do you know what the way my week used to work when I was on the dole? I would spend. So we get you get.
Would
the
you get paid in cash then?
Of course you would. Yeah.
Oh, cash.
Then, like,
in the dough,
in the olden times,
back in year.
Yeah, but did they not pay it?
No, cheese
back
and bread. You just get
back in the mid 18th century when we were on the dough.
Oh, so he wouldn't have paid it into accounts or given you.
No, she'd give you cash. The cash. Maud in Navan would give you cash when you're on the dole.
So the way my week used to work back then was, I would spend. I get the dole on a Wednesday. I would spend. I would have spent the previous Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday, Friday and Thursday playing snooker. And the way the snooker works is a fantastic club called the Lion's Tower in Galway. And I hung out in it morning, noon and night. And what you do is be playing, I would always be playing fellas who all had jobs and stuff like that. There was very few other dole heads in it. You'd be playing butchers and chefs, you'd be plasterers and electricians and all this type of stuff. And the way you'd play is the best of three for the lights.
What does that mean, lights?
Pay for the lights.
So the way the snooker club makes its money is
Fiver.
They charge you per hour for the lights.
Over the table.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of go, okay, I want to play a frame of snooker. And they say, grand, it's £4 an hour. Okay? So mm-hmm. then whatever it is. So I would play people the best of three for the lights. And if I lost, I'd go up to the counter and I'd say, those lights are on me. can you put it down in my account?
Mm.
So you'd play like this for 5 or 6 days. And then when at the end of the week, you would see how much you owed. Mm-hmm. So I could get 32 quid on the dole and I might owe 15 for lights from the snooker. So I would have to go straight from the dole office to the snooker hall. And so I never won money. Mm. What I won was the time playing snooker.
And were you having a
So my dole would often be, so a great week for me was where I had lost no matches and I would be...
And you'd have,
you'd be in the red.
And the 32 quid would be for me.
Like when you say 32 quid, 32 fucking quid was a good sum back then. 32 quid you could do things with.
£22 was on rent and then I had a tenner for food.
A tenner.
But if I had to pay 9 quid of that on fucking lights.
You wouldn't get a chicken roll in Centre for a tenner.
What
I'd have a pound
doing?
Left for food for a week.
You couldn't live off that.
So
I was never bothered by the money thing.
No.
I was never bothered by an empty bank account. And I do remember the time, though, just in terms of money, I do remember the time where I realised I could earn a living from stand-up comedy. And that really, I knew that I could always get gigs in clubs, either here or in England.
And you'd get money. Yeah.
And that was a kind of a big thing for me.
It's the going to the bank. It's going to that on the Saturday.
I think everyone has had that. Like,
have you? Tell me.
Yeah,
like,
of course. You'd be working, your first few jobs where you'd be maybe your first job out of college or whatever, and you might get paid monthly. And, you know, living in Dublin or whatever, you'd spend the first week spending all of your money, you know, because you'd be getting it paid at the beginning or the end of the month, whenever it was. You'd be spending all your money for the first week and then you'd think, fuck, I've got to pay for rent. And then you'd spend 3 weeks again with basically nothing, like with no money.
It's that feeling of going to the bank link machine and putting the card in and going, taking out 40. And then it goes, you do not have sufficient funds.
Yeah.
Now, when the machine tells you do not have sufficient funds and then you come back and you go, I wonder if I can get 20.
It's depressing, yeah.
But that, I don't know. I'm not saying everyone has to go through that. I went through that affair.
I don't know if you have. It doesn't, I don't think it makes, it doesn't really teach you anything though. Do you know what I mean? You end up getting money and you have it in your account and then you don't be like,
but
oh God.
You can't get comfortable about life when you're going to the bank.
Not then you can't, but when making money and you're in a position to have it, you're not going to be thinking back. You think back and you think, it was shitty. There were shitty times, but you wouldn't be.
Some of my kids are very good at money. Some of my kids, they get money for their birthday or the confirmation or off their granddad for Christmas. And they would just, it would be building.
Really?
They would just have
stacks.
60, 70, 120, 190, 240.
50, what'd you get off?
Well,
what'd you get off Auntie Therese?
350. 310, 370, 380. And for a fucking, like for years, like an 890.
Cash.
Up beside the fucking, up beside the David Walliams books.
Into
1100 in cash.
All stuffed into Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
1400.
Straight into Smith's Toy Store with 600 cash. I want Lego City.
Hard cash.
I want the Batman Lego City for cash.
Just this fucking 2100.
And not a bother. No credit union, no bank needed. But
just
nothing.
And then other of my kids are just like fucking in one hand and just
that
flows
that
through
me.
Them.
I don't
that
give
me.
Them cash anymore. I just give them the card, go in there and
you
tap
couldn't,
it.
I couldn't. I thought it was such tap a it. Sin to be saving the money when I was younger. Like, get that out of here again. Quick. Because I always kind of, fuck it, cheers, you'll get it again. Like, it's not a big deal. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't really.
Is it possible to, do you think, to live without credit cards?
Probably not, no.
Why not?
Well, because if you're traveling or you're staying in places.
But with a debit card, not to you.
I love the debit card.
Well, the credit cards are better when you're going to hotels and stuff.
Are they?
Because what they do is, I learned this the hard way as well. Once when I was going to London with basically whatever money I had in my account and that was it. And then the next thing, so you know how they put a hold on your, so say for instance, they'd say the hotel costs €200 a night, whatever.
Mm.
And then they'll add another €50 for, you know,
in case you have a big breakfast or something.
Yeah, or whatever. Or depending on the hotel. If you were there for 3 nights, they might add an extra €150 and a hold or whatever. And you're like, shit, if it's on a credit card, it's just on hold there. But if it's on your debit card, they take the money physically off it and then they reimburse you if you don't use it 3 or 4 days later or 5 days later, whenever it is. So if you're relying on that money on a credit card or on a debit card, then you wouldn't want to be getting rid of it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, so is
a credit card is better for like.
So are the hotels at fault there because they shouldn't? They.
I don't know. Sure, they have a policy. I don't understand it. But the other thing is, if you're paying for stuff or there was money taken off your card, the bank can hold the bank. It's better with the credit card in terms of the bank getting back money.
Do you when you're say in a hotel and you're buying you want some room service and because a lot of people don't carry cash at the minute.
Yes, no, yeah. I'm never a cash.
Right, and the human being comes up with your food and there you go and there's a thing
and they come into your room. Do you take the tray at the door or do
no? I don't. Just get in there.
Door
and
slams
it's
behind.
Then and they're like,
"Come in here! Put it there! Put it over there!
Get in there!" And then there's a fucking slam, and I go, "That's the door closed now." There's
no
the door closed. Where did I get you to put that?
There's no space there.
I didn't have time to get dressed now. Hope it's all right.
Going around with the big
I don't mind that. That's here. Natural early in the morning. That's part of it.
I love the way the tray is sometimes so big they can't get in the door. It's always like, sorry.
And they're wheeling it in.
Take that. Yeah. Do you pay cash or do you pay the debit?
No, so it's on the card for the room. But so you have to write
a tip.
Yeah, sign.
So you write a tip, do you? Are you good? Do
no.
You,
I've never write a tip. I'd fire in a bit of cash.
Yeah, but if I didn't have cash, I'd fire it in.
I'd never give coins. You can't give coins.
You can give coins. Because it's tenner in coins.
What? Give them €2 coins.
Yeah, tenner in coins. You'd give them
a tenner in coins.
If I didn't have.
Who's that? A tenner in coins?
Yeah,
I'll go work
it as in where? €2. It's five.
Where do you think you are, Mass?
Where are you, Manhattan?
Sorry.
Fifth
is
Avenue.
Is there something wrong with giving someone a tenner? What have we turned into?
A tenner?
€10.
This isn't America, you know.
Why? Is that too much or
because
too little?
The tip culture. A fiver is a lovely tip.
You're tight.
You tried for a fiver.
You are tight.
No,
you are fucking tight.
I know for a fact you would never do a fiver. I know for a fact you
Yeah,
don't
you wouldn't give a fiver.
I know,
more.
And my finger's out now.
I'm a big tipper.
Tommy, I know
you I'm getting stressed again.
I wouldn't blame you.
What do you tip?
I like to give a good big tip.
A score. Tommy...
Well, no, not 20. No, not for breakfast.
No,
10 or 15 for breakfast.
Tenor. Hang on a second. We're in an Irish hotel now here, Somebody's now, come up with a club sandwich, a Fanta, a chicken Caesar salad with no anchovies, and a pot of tea, large pot, and they always bring up a scutty little pot, and you give them 20 quid.
No,
we said
tenor.
No,
a tenor. We said give a tenor, not 20.
Tenor,
yeah.
A tenor.
You give a fiver, you big
tight bastard.
You're a tight bastard.
You'd give someone in a coffee shop a fiver, will you go away? They give you a coffee out over the counter. You're tight.
One day we were there, one Saturday, the best, when I went to that bank link, I remember it was in Maingard Street. We were living in Canal Road, me and Dipna in a flat. And Dipna was still in college and I was on the dole. And I said, we'll go out tonight to Salt Hill. And I said, I'll go and get money. And I went up to the bank link at Maingard Street, opposite the King's Head. And I put in a doot, 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 doot. And I went... 50. Let's hope. Please, 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 please. Then I went, you have insufficient funds.
40.
Back to 40.
Any more services? Doot. Do you want a receipt in Irish? Get out of there. I don't want a deal. From 40. No, you have insufficient funds. And we were going out to Salt
20
Hill.
Then. You have to revert to 20
and then.
And then
after people gathering in the queue behind me. And as I'm there, oh God, my life. Do. 20 on a Saturday. This was like 1993. And it went. And out comes the 20 quid. And so Dipna waited for me down the bridge. We were going down to Monroe's for a pint. It was about 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening.
Sure, 20 was loads then.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough. So I said, Dipna, we've a score. Because she had no money until the following week. I said, we've a score. It was about 3 o'clock. On a Saturday afternoon, and we were walking down Dominic Street, and I had the itchy feeling to pop into the bookies because the Grand National. Because the Grand National was on. The Grand National was on. And that morning, I'd done a bit of study, and I said to Dipna, yeah, listen, the Grand National's on. Why don't you go down and shout in the beers there?
There's a tenner.
There's a fiver, and Dipna went down to my nose. I said, I'm going in here to back a horse. And it went in, and I backed a horse called Royal Athlete. For Jenny Pittman, this trainer in England, small trainer. She'd bet 8 horses, but she was a good trainer. She always wore those shades when she talked in the ring. You just knew she loved her horses. I backed Royal Athlete. I said, please fucking do give something here.
Tell me it was just a vibrator.
Tenner each way at 40 to 1 on the 20 I'd taken out of the bank link, right? Went down to Monroe's. I had a pint of Furstenberg. Dipped, I had a bottle of Ritz. I don't know what we were drinking. And there up in the corner was the Grand National. And they have to go around for 4 miles and 35 steeplechase fences around Beecher's Brook and around
the chair.
And there's palm trees flying and there's Ruby Walsh and Paul Garbery. And lo and behold, who came up the road, up the straight? They come to the canal turn and they all go to a big right angle. And then they come up the straight and then there's a little sort of a gap where they have to hit the fence. And then they're on the road home, the furlong, the last furlong. These amazing animals. Yeah. And who won? But Royal Athlete at 40 to 1 for Jamie Pittman. Well, I nearly took the roof off Monroe's. I said, it's after winning. And so we had a great night in Salt Hill that night.
Fuck, a great.
But I'll never forget.
You must have had a great month.
I'll never forget going to the bank link. You have insufficient funds.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
One time, myself and a friend of mine, we were living in this flat and we were paying 20 quid a week each on rent. And we had drunk all our food money the previous night. So we got the dole on a Wednesday and we had to pay the rent on Friday. We'd gone out on the Wednesday night. Now, this isn't, we might have had like 8 or 9 pints each or something like that. This isn't like extravagant drinking. This is young fellas, you know. But we woke up the next morning with no food money. So we had enough for rent left out of the dole, but no food money at all. And we says, what would we do? And it was, scratch cards weren't long after being launched. So we says, why don't we buy 40 scratch cards.
Fucking hell, you lunatic. Why don't we buy
40 pounds worth?
What, you 40
a pound each. A pound
40
each.
Pounds worth of scratch cards. Now that's, and just because we're not looking for much, all we're looking for.
She gave £20 a piece and bought
the
that.
Rent money.
You're looking for a tenner in there. You're looking for. But
we're looking. So what we reckoned was if we got 15 quid. We'd have enough money for the rent and the food.
And you weren't looking for 3 lucky stars.
No.
Nobody would send. You had to send them into RT back then.
The two of us were sitting in the flat and we got 20 scratch cards each.
And you say, ready, steady, go.
And we just fucking.
Were you doing rapids? Were you doing rapids?
Not fast. But
are we going slow?
Nice and slow, because there's fuck all else to do. We had no television. All right.
They had 1 week to do it.
So we were scratching and nothing. Nothing.
It's awful demoralising. Slow down your scratching. You're going too quick.
And nothing. And fucking 50, 3
stars.
10, 20.
Treasure chest.
Fuck off. 10, 5, 6.
6.
Yeah, there's nothing. Always 100.
And then I heard him say, we're good.
How much?
So he got a 50.
350?
No. So, yes, we won 150 quid on one scratch card. Right. So that meant we had the 40 quid for the rent.
And the 50 quid.
No, the 50 quid, no, it's not like horse gam betting where you get the money back.
Yes.
So we'd invested 40, 20 quid each.
So you had the 10.
So we're starting from zero.
That's all they'd left.
So we won 50, so that's what all we had. So we had the 40 quid then for rent and a tenner for food.
Yeah, so you were sound.
So, roll around the following Wednesday, we think we have this fucking new system, this unbeatable system.
And same news agents.
The same news agents.
How are you keeping? Sorry. 40 of those,
will
please.
Will the 40 of the scratch cards, please.
Lucky dip.
Lucky dip again. Nothing.
Oh.
Fucking nothing. And we went to the landlord and we said to him, there's a lovely man called Iggy and on Father Griffin Road. And we went into him and we said, we told him what happened. And we said, we have the 40 quid. No, we said, we didn't because we
got nothing back. Spent, yeah.
Yeah, we said we have no money for rent and we also have no money for food this week. And he says, don't worry about it, lads. You can get me again next week.
Lovely.
But he didn't give us
any money for food.
Any money for food.
Or he didn't give you a packet of beans or anything.
My uncle used to do this thing. I was going into restaurants. So my uncle was a student in Galway. And what they used to do is he'd bring a dead wasp into a restaurant.
Oh. That's brilliant.
He'd bring a dead wasp into a restaurant.
Oh, that's brilliant. Mayo Tiernan, was that a Mayo Tiernan?
And he'd go himself and his
fired into the mashed potato.
Into the fucking, into the Indian restaurant. And he says, you can have this and have this and have this and have this. And then for the starter, and then for the main course, I'll have this and have this and have this. And then, for the dessert, I'll have this and this and this and this. And then at some stage, then he'd fuck a wasp into whatever he was eating. And he'd go, hey, hey. What the fuck is this? Is a wasp?
What's that in me lambuna?
And then the owner called, oh, so sorry, sir. So sorry. That is, you're going to eat for free. Eat for free. Eat for free.
Oh,
all on
brilliant.
Us.
Brilliant. That is absolutely
smart
brilliant.
Boy.
That's a great idea.
But I remember, like, in Galway, when I was living at Canal Road, and it was, we'd a payphone inside the door where you put in coins. A payphone, like a fucking.
Do you remember tapping the phones?
Oh, yeah.
You dial zero, zero, and then.
Yeah. That's right. And ring whoever you want then.
And then the nice thing about when we lived in Canal Road was I could go up and the rent allowance. See, these are life experiences. Getting the regular rent allowance. But every 5 or 6 months, you would have to go for a rent allowance review up to Shantla. And where there was a guy there sitting in a prefab and you'd have to go in and have a meeting about your rent allowance where he'd review it. And that was a huge thing that you were on the dole, but you were getting your rent allowance subsidy. But could you keep it going? And I'll never forget.
I can't remember why. What question? What could they say to you that would?
So did you have a job?
Stop your rental.
If you're working, has anything changed? Are you working? Have you been working? Are you looking for work? So I always remember when
where
I drive by Shantla.
What kind of work are you looking for?
Did you ever not have
rent allowance?
Did you ever get jobs in bars or anything?
See, I never worked in anything like that. Restaurants.
I worked in Quinsworth. Is there still Quinsworth in it?
No, Super Quinn.
No, Quinsworth.
They were Tesco now.
Yeah.
Stacking
shelves.
And you did that for a while?
Yeah.
Never did any...
No bar work?
Never did any job. I worked in a dry cleaners for one Christmas.
What were you doing in a dry cleaners?
I worked in Shannon Dry Cleaners.
Doing what?
On the Ginny or something it's called. It's like a press. It's like
it moves around and round.
Like something you see in the back street. All right. Street. Just big load of steam comes in. It's
pressing the glow.
And Boyzone had the number one around that Christmas. It was like early 90s. On E17, Stay Another Day and all that. It was on constantly. But I did the census. I didn't do many jobs.
The dole was enough.
The dole was great.
The dole was
and then you get the double dole. You get the double dole around
Christmas.
Oh, yeah, double dole. Two payments. 80
and a Christmas bonus. So you can buy something for
the
mother.
Did you ever have the feeling of walking into a social exchange, a dole office, and getting the dole? Have you ever been on the dole?
I don't.
Have you ever got rent allowance?
No.
Butter vouchers?
Butter vouchers.
So you don't. So
do you ever get a slice of the beef mountain?
Why don't we?
I don't know. Was I on.
Medication.
Medication, yeah. I don't think so. Because I was living at home, you see. If I didn't have a job, I would have been at home and got a job in a shop or something.
One of my friends is on the long term dole.
Still?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah.
And what's that? Do you not have to go on sick allowance or something?
This is like. forever.
Is this
forever
is this
and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? He's on the long term benefit.
But how can you get away
he's
with
never
it?
Worked,
or
what? He's worked.
Is he ill? Is he ill or
no, he's not. He just.
When did you meet him first?
When he was 16.
So the two of you were on the dole together?
17. 17.
And how old is he now?
He's 46.
And the whole time on the dole?
All the time.
And what does he do?
What does he do?
He does the odd bit on at festivals. He does the
Nixers.
Odd Nixers, yeah. He's a good scaffolder. He learned a bit of scaffolding. But he is... He's
and why did he never come off the dole?
Because it was nice. It was
did
easy.
Did he ever get married? Or?
No, he never got married. He has a family, beautiful family and lovely house. His mum and dad...
And there's another man rearing them.
His mum and dad passed away. He was given a lovely house in Galway. A lovely old style, on an old style street. And he asked me to do the interview for him. He had to bring in a referee or whatever you call it. Somebody to vouch for him to say that he is of sound mind and he's a good lad, but he's just not able to work. So I had to go down. This is like 20 years ago. I had to, or 25 years ago, at least. He was in his 20s and I had to go into juries because I was obviously an upstanding member of the community. I said, what do you want me to do here? Let's just say his name is Patrick, because it's not.
Thanks for that extra.
And there could be somebody from the dole listening to this. You're getting no information out of me because I have to salute the long doors. So I had to go into...
Snitches, that's all the dole heads are. Snitches.
Should lads in the Dole and Navan have to go in and they'd be in overalls smattered with paint and paint on their head and painted this and those bucket hats full of paint and then Maud would go, are you working? No, I'm just doing a bit at home. 60-40 on the Dole. So I had to go into a room with Patrick and sit there and say that he's just not able to work, but he's a really good lad and I know him a long, long time, but it just doesn't suit him. He's just not able to. And it's just
stressful for him.
Just continually not able to. And
he's just continually not able to.
He's just not able to do it.
Oh, why didn't I call on your superpowers when I was in school and had no homework done?
Yeah, exactly.
He's just not able
for it.
He's not able for the homework.
Does he not put out for it?
And he survives and he has been surviving.
So he's got kids.
And he's not, you know, these scroungers. He's not, people go, oh, you're living off the dole, living off the state. We just have to salute him and go, well, bloody done.
Because he has the super... He's let go, he's relaxed, he's kind of
going... Oh, he's completely
isn't
chilled.
Isn't it brilliant, though?
Completely
to
chilled.
To be like that.
Not afraid of a day's work now. If a lad asks him to go mixing cement in Connemara, or if he asks him to go building a wall in Bohor Moor, he's not work averse. Yeah, he will not shun that. There's always a bit of a Nixer done or a bit of painting, but he is long-term dole.
That's tremendous.
Life dole.
I've never heard.
But is it not annoying to be on the dole? Like, would you not be analysed if you want to go on holidays? Would they not be saying, oh, where did you get the money for that? Or would they not be checking you all the time and checking your bank accounts?
Did a lady fall in love with him?
Yes. She fell in love with his rhythms and his being and the hippiness of it and the whole vibe of it. And he's a magnificent man. He's a heart of gold.
Yeah.
He'd do anything for you. And he's a great man.
Did you ever fall for a man of low standing?
Don't know.
Did you ever fall for a man with no prospects? Did you ever fall for a man with no visible income?
No prospects.
No, I didn't.
No visible income.
I can't say that I did.
It was always... Is that part of how you
It's just the circles that you mix in. Is it just the circles that you mix in? I don't know. If you met someone and you fell in love with them, like when you were young and they didn't have, I don't know, can you... You don't specifically go around asking what their job is and what they do.
A friend of mine is on, he lives in North America. And he's on
North America.
He's on some of the dating websites and he works as, he works in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
As he's a high-end waiter, like he's very, and he was saying to me that on some of the dating things over there, even though he's, you know, that's a tough, stressful job and you need to know everything about wine and be able to advise people and also to make them feel nice and comfortable in the restaurant and be able to advise them on food and
especially in America because it's so it's all like
But he would say to me that a lot of the time that when he's trying to get dates with women and as soon as they find out what he's... Now, maybe North America is a little bit more ruthless in terms of this, but he would say a lot of the times when the women find out what I work at, they go, oh, okay, not for me, loser.
Really?
Yeah.
But maybe it is North America. Maybe it is like, because they're all so high powered and they're like, oh my God, I need to make money, make money, make money, make money, make money. I don't know. I wasn't subjected to dating websites where I was asking somebody what to do.
You'd have to have an awful lot of confidence.
And most people that I've ever gone out with, I've known them. So, you know what I mean? I know what to do before I met them.
Yeah.
It's just a conversation starter too. Oh, what do you do? Like, well, maybe if they said they...
Let's pretend that's me and you, sir, and we've just met. Okay?
Right.
Say, hi there. Nice to meet you
it's
at last.
It's a bit formal. You'd say, you wouldn't be like, hi there.
Where are you? Where
are we on the phone or in person?
Are you in a pub?
We're in a pub. Hey, how, can you get me a drink?
Because I've no money. What's your name?
I just got to the casting scene.
I'd be like,
imagine
going
up to somebody going, "Hey, can you get me a drink?"
I'd say, "No problem. You stay there. I'll be back in a minute."
Great way to start a conversation.
Gone.
Isn't it a great way of reversing the whole thing?
Can you get me a drink?
How are you? What's your name? Can you get me a drink? And then she'll go, or the person will go, why? Well, and that's the starter.
Or I don't have a job.
Or if I come up to you and I said, we're on a date, and I said, the first thing, I said, we'd never coin on you, would you? And then you say, why? Because I've got 57 scratch cards here, and I have to see if I can pay the rent.
How much is he going to pay for dinner?
But if, go on, keep that.
But if the worst comes to the worst, I have a dead wasp in my pocket.
In fairness, you might get a laugh out of it. You'd have dinner.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless and good luck.
Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.